You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Matis Anviasoulis, co-founder and CEO of the fastest-growing European fintech, Cream Finance, where they make money available. I'm sure you want to hear more about this. Matis, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Hi there. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, you're welcome, and certainly appreciate that. Now, how did the idea of Cream Finance come into your head, and what was the start like? Get into that to kick things off today.
Sure. It's a funny story. I mean, you know, I could give you some kind of super exciting kind of a VC pitch that I always knew that I'm going to do this business and change the world. But the reality is that I just knew that I want to do some business on my own. After graduating from university in UK, I started working in a bank. And I kind of quickly very much, you know, realized and learned two things. One thing is that I hate working for someone else, especially in a large bank. And second is I learned how to work just enough to get away, you know, with not being fired, but still making a little bit of salary so that I could use the salary to put it into my business. And so that's how I kind of worked for about a year and a half straight out of university. As a graduate analyst on a trading floor in investment banking, and I, you know, found this idea of doing consumer loans online largely due to the situation that the Baltic states, which is where I'm from, were in back in 2010-11, which is really kind of the rock bottom of the credit crunch. So if we remember back, you know, when the global kind of economy was very depressed, especially in the Baltic states, the credit crunch was massive and people couldn't get loans from normal high street banks unless you were kind of a super prime, extremely high official salary earning individual, which wouldn't be the case in these countries most of the times. And so there was a massive gap, basically a massive opportunity, first of all, massive gap for consumer credit because people still needed to borrow money for the, you know, for normal things and for the economy to function. But the big banks, they stopped lending, which is always the case, right? They overexpand their credit when times are good, and then they just stop lending whenever they hit you know, higher default rates. And so this is kind of in the environment in which I identified that providing consumer credit would probably be a very big opportunity at that point in time. And the second point is, you know, I didn't have a background of massive connections or huge capital available. So that's why I was forced to think about a way of entering the world of consumer credit with very limited capital in the beginning. And so that's why I raised a few small seed rounds from basically my friends from the university that had more means and more connections from the family side and so on. And I really focused together with my business partner, who at that point was still located in Latvia, as I was, you know, finishing my full-time job in the bank in the UK. I realized that if we do this as a technology business, and if we start with small sums, for small durations, then we can have at least a kind of a step in the door to consumer lending, right? And we really focused on building a very strong technology platform that enables to do these small consumer loans online very quickly and very conveniently for the client. And we kind of took it from there. You know, the consumer demand was massive, as we expected, from pretty much day one. And then it was really more a question of getting enough resources and providing enough funding for the business to continue scaling it into what are now seven countries around the world.
Certainly some interesting background, and thanks for sharing that in thorough detail. Really appreciate that. Now, how do you deal with competitors, and what was your approach to actually competing with them despite the small investment that Cream Finance got in the beginning and in comparison to your competitors?
Sure. That's a great question. So Again, you know, the context in which we built the company was very much capital constrained. We therefore, you know, never kind of had the intention or the idea that we're going to raise massive rounds of VC capital of VC money just to play around with some cool kind of like you know, technology hypothesis and along the way burn a lot of money. We were always very much focused on the profitability and the operational excellence of our business. And while I thought that in the beginning it's a disadvantage because we, you know, wouldn't scale maybe as fast or we wouldn't have the highest valuation in the market, then over time I realized that this is, you know, really put us in a position where we have very strong operational excellence of the, in the business, one. Second, where we have focused on making the product as simple and convenient for the client as opposed to trying to focus on sophisticated technology, right? And so one thing is therefore that we want to make borrowing money online as simple as clicking one click, yeah. So therefore, we have this concept of one-click loans. We want a client to come to the website, select the loan they want, read the loan contract, look at the offer that we have, and then click apply for the loan and literally get the money to their bank account within minutes. And all the sophisticated technology, we want to leave that kind of behind the door and in the background to do all the heavy lifting, right? So that's one. Second, when I talk about operational excellence, this is where, you know, people, especially that haven't built businesses themselves or haven't been in real in a real company, maybe struggling to grasp the concept of what operational excellence means. But I can explain it to you, especially when it comes to credit risk or consumer credit risk management, that there's really two components to this business model which makes it really successful. And most of the times, most of our competitors really miss the point that the magic of this business and to make it successful is to strike a balance between these two components. And I'll tell you which components they are. So first one is the so-called consumer credit scoring. And so this is where we hear a lot of people talking in conferences that this is all about big data. You know, nowadays you can literally establish a consumer score on the basis of, you know, Facebook or Twitter feeds, which is all, you know, unrealistic. It doesn't really exist. And the second point is automatic and highly customized customer handling processes. And we operate in 7 countries. That means we have 7 different call centers of people that directly deal with our customers in a very automatic fashion. So we have automatic dialers that call out to our clients that make optimized and customized offers to our existing client base and so on and so forth. And these are the things that are not as glamorous and sexy when it comes to, you know, technology, but they require a lot of work and attention to detail over a long period of time in every different jurisdiction in which we operate, you know, to make these two components work together very well. So the combination of excellence both on the scoring side plus on the customer handling is what gives us extremely strong risk management results and very low default levels. And our default levels are literally in the range of 6-7% compared to the industry average of roughly about 10%, right? So that gives you an idea that we've been able to, you know, develop risk management process to an extent that it gives us, you know, up to 2 times better results than most of our competition.
Today we are joined by Matis Anviasoulis, co-founder and CEO of the fastest-growing European fintech, Cream Finance, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Matis, what's the most interesting or difficult part in setting up a business and scaling it up, and what are the biggest challenges that you experienced?
Well, good question. I mean, you know, I don't think that we can pinpoint kind of something one. I mean, developing a business, doing it fast, profitably across different geographies is a challenge altogether. You know, fundraising, especially if you come from an environment, you know, somewhere like in Central Eastern Europe, then it's harder than if you come from the US or from, I don't know, Germany. So that's been something that we've always had to work hard to achieve. So that's one. Second, I think at the end of the day, you know, business is all about people. As much as you know, media likes to focus on technology and all these cool new things, at the end of the day, what makes a business perform at a very highest level is people, high performance teams. So, you know, while technology, risk management, all these data driven scoring processes is all great, but at the end of the day, they're performed by top people. So my job, you know, as a leader of an organization is really to make sure that there's two things in place. One is that we have resources, and in our case, it's pretty much funding, right, capital. And second thing is that we have the best people to use these resources to reach the strategy that we've, you know, set for ourselves. And so I would say getting top-level, you know, world-class experts and managers to perform together in a short space of time across different, you know, time zones and mentalities and cultures, that's really, you know, something you have to focus on every day.
And you've really done quite well and very impressive what you've been able to accomplish. Lastly, why did you start a YouTube channel and blog, and what's the message that you're spreading on those channels?
So that's an interesting one. I mean, you know, there's a few things to it. So one thing is that at some point in time, you know, kind of had the luxury, and I was fortunate enough and the business was doing well so that I can think kind of long-term and bigger picture of what business really means to me and kind of what I want to give back to people. And I realized that by sharing real insights of what it really means to build a high-performance business, as opposed to kind of what we all love talking about in the media and in conferences, but really give a real sense of what it really takes to build a real business. And I realize that if I start sharing this, then it probably will be useful for other people that are in a similar position to mine or, you know, are just starting their companies. And that I would not kind of try to filter it out to make it sound very sexy and cool and nice always, but really, you know, talk about the failures, talk about the hard work and sacrifice that you need to put in to get this kind of result, you know, possible. So I think that's kind of one thing, and I think I didn't have the right to share this kind of stuff, and I didn't have the actual content or the experience to share when I started the business. And I think, you know, nowadays there's all these, I know, 20-year-old life coaches and all this stuff where they talk about how things need to be done, but they haven't really, you know, really achieved anything significant in any particular field. And so I feel like, you know, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've built a business to an extent where, you know, I really can use my experience and start sharing it, and it can be useful for other people. I think that's the primary, you know, reason.
Well, Matas, we certainly appreciate your joining us today from Mexico. Obviously, Cream Finance is located in the Baltic states, in Latvia, there in Europe, and we certainly appreciate your joining us today and getting us up to speed on the history of Cream Finance as well. Tell us, where can listeners get more information accordingly, and how can they be in touch in all regards on Cream Finance?
In terms of the information about our own company and about our business as a group, we have our website. It's called creamfinance.com, and that's where we share all the updates on you know, the conferences and public events in which we take part, as well as our description of our products, of our key competencies, overall our strategy and things of that nature. In terms of where we're going next, I think we just really want to scale the business in the existing countries in which we operate, which is primarily Europe, but also now, like you said, I'm in Mexico, so we're launching in Mexico as we speak. And it's really to establish our position as a leading player in non-bank consumer lending online in the countries in which we operate, plus also make the first steps into the Latin American region.
Well, you're certainly doing an awesome job, and it has been our honor and pleasure to have had you today, Matas, and wish you all the best. Enjoy your time there in Mexico today.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Matas Anviasulis, co-founder and CEO of the fastest-growing European fintech Cream Finance, where they make money available. And for more information and for contact, simply visit creamfinance.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.